Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's start with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for your living and life-changing words in the Bible. Lord, help us this morning as we think about this Bible passage and speak into our hearts, we pray. Amen. Well, I have been very busy this weekend. I have been making a paper aeroplane. Now, this isn't just any paper aeroplane. I'm not an expert, but I did go on YouTube and I followed this rather lovely design. So this is actually a jet paper aeroplane. And this morning, you are going to get to witness its maiden voyage. I've got no idea if this is going to fly at all. And I'm really sorry if I hit any of you in the congregation. I'm going to aim for the aisle. Right. Is everyone heads ready? Okay. That was terrible. Oh my goodness. All right, I'm going to go back to my normal design. But anyway, but if I was an expert in paper aeroplanes, do you think it'd be possible to take a paper aeroplane from here and get it all the way into the car park? Do you think that would be possible? Yes? There's a few nods, yeah. Okay, what about standing here? If there were no walls or buildings in the way, would I be able to get a paper aeroplane from here all the way to Richmond Spice, the curry place where we had our ladies and men's curry nights? That's across the road, a few shops down. Do you think that would be possible? No, no? Okay, let's have a look at a video. Isn't that amazing? So that was 77 metres, which would be from here, even actually it would be a shop down from Richmond Spice. And someone has even broken that record and managed 88 metres. It's madness. And if you don't believe videos, which let's face it, we don't believe videos now because of AI and because of photoshopping, there's a book that you can trust, the book of the Guinness World Records. And this is based on witnesses, officials who can verify that this actually happened. And when it comes to things that seem impossible, it's natural that we want evidence. We want evidence to believe that it is true. And that's exactly what we saw going on in today's passage. So we've been hearing over this sermon series after Easter about encounters with the risen Jesus after his crucifixion. And last week we heard from Keith, and he told us about how Jesus appeared to the disciples in a locked room. So Jesus just appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." And they all thought he was a ghost. And they were so freaked out that Jesus ended up eating broiled fish in their presence to convince them, "I am really here and alive." But there was a problem. Somebody was missing. Thomas wasn't there. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there. He might have been just on his own, wanting to grieve the loss of Jesus. Or maybe he was getting back into his old life. He was thinking, "I need to get back into that old job now Jesus isn't here." We don't know why he wasn't there. But he missed out. He missed out on seeing the fully resurrected, the fully alive, the eating, the in the flesh, Jesus. And that is a really big problem because Thomas didn't get the evidence that the others had had. And so, of course, he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe that Jesus is alive. Now, poor Thomas. He's got a bit of a bad reputation, doesn't he? I mean, have you heard the phrase doubting Thomas? Right? It's a slang phrase we use to say that's someone who doesn't believe. They're such a doubting Thomas. And people have even made a film called Doubting Thomas, which is nothing to do with him. It just uses his name to talk about some husband who doesn't believe his wife. I've never seen it. But who knows? There's also memes. People have done memes about poor doubting Thomas, the one who just doesn't believe. But this is all really harsh. I mean, all the other disciples doubted too. They all thought that Jesus was a ghost. They had to let him eat fish in front of them to believe. So why does Thomas get singled out for doubting? If something impossible happens, it's natural that we want something to convince us that it's real. And so today, I'm launching a counter campaign. I'm launching a counter narrative that is pro-Thomas. And I'm even going to go as far as to say that we should be more Thomas. We should be like him. Thomas is no longer going to be a byword for a skeptic. Being called a Thomas is going to be a compliment because I think we can learn a lot from Thomas. And being more like him, we can see change in our lives, just as it was life-changing for him. And so the first thing we need to do if we are going to be more Thomas is to question. There are many things in this world that we believe because someone has told us. So when we go to school, we trust our teachers to give us accurate facts and we just believe what they say. And, you know, with the aeroplane, we trust the testimony of those people from the Guinness World Records team. We believe the witnesses. This is good evidence. And certainly there is an element of this in our thinking about Jesus. We take the words in the Bible. We take the thoughts of experts who have looked at those words and thought about them. We take historical evidence from other sources. And we work with all of that, and that is strong evidence. There is strong evidence that Jesus was born, that he did die, and that he was resurrected. And we take the testimony of our friends too, don't we? That is more good evidence. But when Thomas walked into that room, and when he heard his friends say that Jesus was alive, their testimony wasn't enough. And Thomas was refreshingly honest. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And I think this is such a wonderful thing for us to see happen. There's a reason why this was included in the gospel. We as readers, we don't need to hear that Jesus can go into locked rooms. We've already heard that story. We know that happens. This is a duplicate story from that perspective. But what we do need to know is it okay to question? Is it okay to have doubts? And I'm sure many of us can identify with Thomas. Many of us have had these head-in-hands moments where we have doubts and questions. Maybe you hear things said in church and you sit there thinking, "I'm not sure I agree with that." Well, maybe things happen in your life and it makes you wonder, is God really for me? Is he on my side? Does God really love me? Is God actually listening to any of my prayers? And then maybe you even feel that pang of guilt for daring to question God and daring to question whether he loves you. And maybe sometimes you even bury those doubts and you sing the worship songs, hoping that your heart is going to catch up with what your voice is saying. Is it okay to have times when we put our head in our hands like this and we doubt and we question? And that is so wonderful. That's why it's so wonderful that this encounter between Thomas and Jesus happened. And that's why it's so wonderful that Thomas was singled out as a doubting person. And that's why it's so wonderful it was included for us to read about, because this is such a gift. Jesus' response to Thomas and his doubts, it gives us our answer to that question. Thomas has these doubts and questions. What does Jesus do with them? Does he reject Thomas? Does he rebuke him? Does he ignore him? No. Instead, Jesus sees Thomas's doubt as an invitation, and he meets Thomas right in the middle of those doubts. So Thomas's friends had had this wonderful experience of Jesus coming into this locked room in the flesh. Thomas can't believe until he sees it for himself. So what does Jesus do? He reenacts the whole thing. He comes into the locked room. He gives Thomas the same experience. And he invites Thomas to see his wounds. He quite literally steps into those doubts. And there's something very powerful about acknowledging doubt. If we're not sure about something and we don't confront it, then we tend to just avoid the whole thing. And like, if you think, if no one had confronted the question, can aeroplanes fly? Then aeroplanes would never have been invented. And if Thomas hadn't confronted his doubt, he might have just drifted away from his friends, and he might have known a very different life. Questions and doubt invite exploration and answers. And Jesus offers Thomas an invitation in return. He says, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. In other words, Jesus is saying, I see you. I've heard your questions and your doubts, and I'm here to help you to believe. It's okay to question. In fact, it's more than okay, because in acknowledging doubts and questions, we can invite Jesus into them. Because faith in Jesus isn't something we can just borrow from our friends. Faith isn't just about believing whether something is true or not. It's not just about weighing up evidence as to whether Jesus did exist and did die and did come back to life. Faith is so much more than that. It's about meeting the risen Jesus for ourselves. It's about getting our own first-hand primary source evidence to help us in our questions. Thomas did it. Jesus embraced it. So here we are. Let's be more Thomas. We've got this permission to ask questions. We've got permission to be honest about where our heads and our hearts are. And we can see from Thomas that it is life-changing when we do. And church, this is a wonderful place to do that. Don't ever feel that church is the place you go to once you've got your beliefs sorted. It's not. It's a place where we can wrestle with doubt. And life groups are another wonderful place where you can wrestle together and you can pray about those doubts. You can take them to Jesus. Now, interestingly, we don't ever find out if Thomas ever did touch Jesus. Jesus speaks those words of invitation to Thomas, and perhaps that's all he actually needed. Perhaps he realized it wasn't about evidence. It was about encounter. Because Thomas immediately responds, my Lord and my God. And this for me sums up what Jesus is wanting to do with Thomas and what he's wanting to do with us. This isn't about getting enough evidence. This is about recognizing that we have a God who sees us, a God who comes to meet us in the midst of our questions. And he does that so that we can recognize that he's here with us, each one of us, my Lord and my God. It's good to question, because in our times of raw honesty, Jesus can come and be with us. And it's in acknowledging and noting those and articulating those doubts that Jesus can give us what we really need. And most importantly, we can recognize him in front of us. Now, it's unlikely that we're going to have an experience like Thomas did. It's unlikely that we're going to see Jesus in the flesh and eat fish with him. So how does Jesus meet us in 2024? How does he meet us in our questions and our doubts? In this passage, Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And it's different for us, isn't it? But Jesus is talking about us in this bit of the passage. He's blessing us with these words because we are blessed. We're blessed with many ways to know him. And as Keith said last week, in a few weeks' time, we're going to have Pentecost. And that's where we'll think about the Holy Spirit coming for this exact purpose, so that we could know God, even without physically seeing or touching him. And people experience the voice of Jesus in lots of different ways. For me, I liken it to when a penny drops. So I wonder if you've ever had that experience where you're doing flat pack furniture building. So you've got your IKEA furniture, you've got the picture, and you're looking at it thinking, how on earth does that picture match those pieces and turn into this wardrobe I'm trying to make? And you look at it, but then suddenly a penny drops and you think, oh, that's what I'm meant to do. Okay, I get the next step. And that's what listening to Jesus is like for me. I have these moments where a penny drops and I think, oh, that's what God is like. Okay, it makes sense. And for me, it might be through hearing a Bible verse, a line in a sermon, a song, or it might be a pop song on the radio or something on the TV. I find Doctor Who and Dumbledore have both really spoken to me about what God is like. And it's that moment, like with Thomas, of thinking, my Lord and my God. And when we bring our doubts to Jesus, I wouldn't be surprised if he meets us right in them. If something happens, you have a conversation with someone, you see something on the TV, read something in the Bible or another book, and something resonates, a penny drops, and we hear the voice of Jesus in it saying, I see you, I hear your doubts, and I'm here, I'm with you in them, and I will help you to believe. And that's not to say that all our questions and our doubts get answered, but accepting this permission we've been given through Thomas to question in being more Thomas, we give Jesus an invitation to come and meet us in our honest and raw reality. We invite him to come and to hold those questions with us, to hold those doubts with us, and to help us. And most importantly, we find out for ourselves that he is alive and he is with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can be honest with you. Thank you that we don't need to hide our doubts and our questions from you. And Lord, we ask that you will help us to believe. Help us to know you in the midst of our doubts. Lord, come and be close to us. Amen.